smoky, we're ready to roll. Welcome to all of you to the Meathead's Power Hour. We're delighted that you're here. My name is Ernest with Power Hour, and I'm delighted to be bringing to you Ryan and Jed. We'll do introductions here in just a moment. Please know that we have hundreds of publishing companies and publishing professionals that are joining us. These are calls that we've been hosting together with MediaBiz for the last 4 years. They have been wonderful. This is the first, though, that we've ever done a call related to your website and technology, search engine optimization, and the monetization of your website. Please know that there are 5 segments in this that we're going to roll out over the next 6 to 12 to 18 months, okay? So please recognize that there will be 5 segments. This is the first of 5, and there's lots of work to be done in this area. There would be no way to pack more than we've sliced it for the purpose of the points that we're going to cover today. So, Jed, if you would, could you say a few opening words to the group, and could you also talk a little bit about MediaBiz and what brings us here together?
Great. Thanks a lot, Ernest. Now, first of all, I always want to thank Ernest. He's the engine that drives these calls, and much more interesting to listen to than I am. But we have we're happy to help organize this, and we hope that it's educational on a monthly basis. MediaBiz is just real quickly. MediaBiz is a website. We have about 17,000 advertisers that purchase ads through our site on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. We're talking today about websites. MediaBiz, however, is primarily print advertising, in the actual pages of print publications. But, you know, certainly we understand and hope that your websites are profitable as well. So if you'd like to learn more about MediaBiz and selling ads in the your print publications via our site, please, you know, give us a call, contact us, go to our website, mediabiz.com, and thanks again for joining us.
Very good. Thank you so much, Jed. We wouldn't be here without the support of you and MediaBiz, and please, for all of you to know, MediaBiz serves our publishing clients all over the world very, very nicely. Jed does a fantastic job. If you're looking for additional income, especially in these economic times, take a look at MediaBiz.com, and you can learn more about the work that they're doing and how they can help your publication. I'm going to have Ryan introduce himself. Ryan is our VP of Internet Technology and Strategies for Power Hour. We're delighted to have him as part of our team and to be working with our publishing clients as well, whether it's about your SEO strategy, whether it's about the monetization of your website, or whether it's about your sales team and then learning how to sell website advertising specifically. Ryan's going to be doing that with us, and we're really delighted to have him on board. Ryan, would you like to say some opening words and give a broad stroke of your professional background and what we're doing here?
You bet. Thanks, Ernest. Really thrilled, everybody, to be here on the call today. I've been in the Internet space and operating since 1997. And since that time, I've had a wonderful opportunity to be a part of about 3,000 different website builds. My last post was with Morris Magazines Interactive out of Augusta, Georgia, where I oversaw the magazine strategies from the Internet side of the shop for about 14 of those publications, some of which included a great magazine called Alaska Magazine, a top 500 consumer mag called Western Horsemen, and several others, a couple of which were B2Bs and mostly consumer mags. Also spent a little time because of Morris working in the newspaper space with some great people there. And now I'm just really enjoying the personal passion and commitment I find from working with so many excellent publishers, especially publishers in the niche magazine space. And so just thrilled to be here and thrilled to share some of the experiences that I've had over the course of the last 12 to 15 years working in the Internet space and helping people make money from their websites.
Wonderful. And, Ryan, it's just a delight to have you as part of our Power Hour team, and we just are loving the way you're serving our clients. And so, again, my name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. And as you know, we work in the sales and the training, the recruiting side of the house with publishing companies, and also the investment banking. We help our publishing clients buy and sell publications, and we are delighted to now have search engine and the monetization of websites as part of what we're doing. Let's roll right in here. We're going to be talking today about website design that creates smart revenue growth. That is the subject we're covering. And we're going to be covering three key points. We're going to talk about the hotspots of your website design, how to maximize the revenue for these hotspots. Number two, we're going to talk about colors and how they impact your website visitors. And then number three, we're going to actually review some websites live, okay, that we're going to ask you to pull up a particular URL, and we're going to review those live. We had many, many requests. We could only filter in a couple into our call. But please know this is the kind of work that Power Hour provides, and Ryan, working with our publishing company, does all day long, and we would be more than happy to follow up with you as a follow-up to this program. So, Ryan, let's get rocking here. What are the hot spots, and how does that create smart revenue growth for the publications and publishers that are out here today?
Well, I'll tell you, Ernest, one of the most common things that I see, and for the record, please feel free to interrupt me at any point. When I tend to get a little bit excited about the Internet, I tend to just go on and on. I am the son of a Baptist preacher, so you have to understand that I have no concept of time, and I'll just continue when I get excited about a subject, okay?
I think we'll have a sense of that, won't we, Jed?
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, one of the things when I first meet with publishers and we take a look at their website, one of the most common things I see, guys, is that when I go to the page and I pull it up, as a user, I just don't know where to go. Now, one of the things that people always need to remember but is so often forgotten is that people read left to right and top to bottom. So what that would tell us intuitively is that the most important thing should be where? In the top left-hand corner. But what most people do is what? They place their logo in the top left-hand corner. Now, I'm not saying that your logo is not the most important part of your website. The point that I'm trying to bring to people is, and the publishers on the call, is as you're looking at your website and you pull it up, you need to sit there and think to yourself, where do I want people to go? Where do I want their eyes to gravitate? As a matter of fact, Ernest and Jed and everybody, there is a technology available, and it's very expensive, but they actually put little devices on people's faces in the form of a pair of glasses, and they actually track people's eyes as they watch websites. And so the reason I say left to right and top to bottom is because it's not only intuitive, but it's also been proven. The third thing, though, that's been proven, though, is that people are drawn to colors, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. So when you design your website and you're looking at it now and laying it out, the first question to ask yourself is, what's my number one goal? What is it on this page that I want someone to do? So, for example, perhaps your goal is, I want to drive subscriptions. That's my main goal. I have no other goal. One main goal, drive subscriptions. If that is the case, then you would want to place that information and create a hot spot where? Somewhere in the upper top left-hand corner of your website. Now, in the same regard, say your goal is, I want advertisers, I want people to be drawn to my advertisers. Well, then that would tell you what? You want to make sure that your banner advertising, your most important banner ad, is as close to the top of the page as possible. Now, to that same vein, what I oftentimes see when I go and look at these websites is the navigation to get throughout the website is not in an intuitive spot. It's either on the left and scrunched down. The most important buttons on the navigation along the top are over to the right. So, guys, when you're laying out your websites, you want to create areas and hot spots of your website to draw the user's eyes to those particular areas. So, if you have navigation along the top of your website, and I've seen this, and you'll see it on some of the sites we'll review today, it would tell you that the navigation to the left on the top would be lined up in such a way that you want your most important stuff where? On the left. Now, if you happen to have a website that has navigation along the left side of the screen, you want to make sure that your most important navigation is where? At the top. Now, everyone would probably say, and Ernest and Jed, you might agree, that this seems very intuitive. It is intuitive, guys, but here's the thing. Most people don't do it. Instead, you'll go to their website, and where will the subscription form be or the subscription request box? Someplace that was left over, or someplace, oh man, we designed our website and we forgot to include a subscription place. So they place it in the bottom right, or they place it somewhere in the bottom left. Or if they do decide to place it somewhere in the middle, what do you do to create a hot spot? you create a hot spot by utilizing color, by utilizing borders, by utilizing graphics, what's the one thing that doesn't draw someone's eye? Text, unless it is bold or red or is graphically represented. So what I encourage people to do when we're working through website design is take a good old-fashioned white piece of paper. And people say, well, we use the whiteboard. A whiteboard, the reason a whiteboard doesn't work, guys, is because it's so big. All right? And so what you have a tendency to do is you have a tendency to draw in scale that's not appropriate. What's more appropriate is an 8.5 by 11, good old-fashioned piece of paper. And lay that piece of paper down and start drawing a grid. Okay? Take a ruler and make some lines across the page, make some lines up and down. What's even better is if you can use a piece of good old-fashioned graph paper and keep things so that they're symmetrical. And then what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, we've got about 9 things that we need to try to fit on our page. Let's create space for them. See, what happens all too often, guys, is that the website gets done and somebody says, oh, man, we've got to incorporate advertising into this site. Oh, well, then just throw the ads on the top and throw them off to the right side. What you want to do is create an environment for your advertisers where they are a part of your website. They're a part of your web design. We don't want to tell our advertisers, oh, hey, we just decided to throw you on the page. We just decided to throw you at the bottom or off to the right. All the sites that we work on, and my encouragement to you today, is to take those banner ads and incorporate them physically into the design of the site. Now, you've got your grid paper, and you've got your white piece of paper, and maybe some of you are doing that right now. And then from there, you decide, okay, we've got our 10 spots on the page where we're going to put stuff, content, navigation, advertising, an area for data collection, meaning contests and promotions where you're going to collect data. You've got this whole grid laid out. And then what you want to do is you want to start moving that grid around in such a way to follow the rule of left to right and top to bottom. Now, if you can't fit everything, obviously, in the upper left, then you want to start prioritizing. You want to start putting a number in those spots and say, okay, this is most important. Now, a lot of times what I do in this exercise to make it a little easier is I'll take a pair of scissors and cut along that 8.5 by 11 piece of paper so I can actually move the puzzle pieces around. The whole idea, guys, is that you want to create containers or little spots for all of this content. Now, that is how you specifically design placements. Now, what happens a lot of times is people will have a list of things they want on their website. They give it to the web designer, and they just start laying things out, and they try to smash all this stuff into this little space. What I want to encourage you to do is look at your current website. Look at it and say to yourself, where is it that I want my user to go? And then look at the page and start at the left top corner and start working yourself across the way that you would read a book. Because basically that's how people are going to look at the website, left to right and top to bottom, and work their way down. And then say to yourself, okay, if I want to drive subs, I maybe don't want to have that subscription call to action form on the right side of the screen towards the bottom. I need to move it over here. If your goal is you want to drive people into the directory, into your business directory, which, by the way, guys, I can't really think besides newsletters of anything online that is not only, A, easier to sell, but is just easy to drive than business directories. Say you want that business directory to be very, very prominent and important. You're going to want to use colorization to draw people's eyes to it. But, guys, you're going to want to place it up in the top left or someplace in the top part of the website. So I think, Ernest, you can see that it's a bit of a puzzle game where you move these puzzle pieces around. Now, the last thing I can say about this, because I know we don't have all day to spend on hotspots, is that most of the publishers that I encounter are guilty of assuming. You know what your mother used to say about assuming things, right, guys? Now, you've got to be real careful about assumptions, because you're assuming that you know what your readers want or what your readers need. A lot of times what you need to do is use surveys. A lot of times you need to simply put together a small free focus group, buy some people lunch, buy some people pizza and ask, and find out and ask them after you've laid out these zones, okay, does this make sense to you? I guessed that you would want the classifieds right here. Did you see it? Did that make sense to you? Give your little miniature focus group a task. Place a classified ad on my website. We've designed so many sites and done so many of these free little mini focus groups with users, and I would say 7 times out of 10, they fail on their task because I assumed that I placed it in the correct spot.
Brian, I can agree with you there, as there's nothing, there's no more painful process than watching someone try to use your site when you're standing behind them. it will drive you nuts.
You know, you're right, and what you want to do is, people, I think of focus groups as something that's extremely formal. And I'm telling you this, if you're in a local, maybe you're a local newspaper or you're a city and regional magazine, you can basically just give these guys a real simple task, buy them lunch. People love to have their opinions heard. Now, what happens, though, is it sounds like a lot of work, and it's really not, is that people have people from their office do these focus groups. Guys, that doesn't work. You need to have some outside people. Maybe it's your mom. maybe it's your kids. Give these people a task and see, do my hotspots work? So I've created them, I've designed it, and I've created it, and I've laid it out. Now, put it to the test. The secret to these hotspots is your ability to be able to focus people's attention to those hotspots. Now, the final thing I'll say about it is right now, the 250 by 250 box ad, square box ad, or the 200 by 200 square box ad is very, very popular. Agencies love it. Mom and pop advertisers love it. The reason they do is because it's an easy space to design an ad. The nice thing about a 200 by 200, a 250 by 250 is it fits into a square. You're able to move it around the page. If you want to get great ROI for your advertisers, you need to incorporate that ad in such a way into the design of your site where you create a spot for it. Remember, guys, advertisers are not just a throw-in. They're not just a tag-on to great editorial. They're an integral part of your website. They're an integral part of your success. When you create great return on investment for advertisers, what do they do? They renew with you, and they spend more money with you. Now is the time in our economy to figure out ways to create great, massive return on investment for our advertisers. It's a great time to say to them, listen, we've rejiggered our website. We've re-engineered it. Jiggered might be a Southern word, by the way. We've re-engineered our website to lay it out in such a way that we've given you, Mr. Advertiser, more prominence. You are an integral part of our website. Guys, I can't tell you enough that creating unique hotspots on the page for content, advertising, etc., subscriptions, data collection, is ultra important. You can't just have a run-on website. It will not work. You will not have great return on investment for your advertisers. You will not have the success you need to have to succeed in the space today.
All right, so let's just pause. This is Ernest. And, Ryan, thank you so much for sharing the meat on our first point here. There was a question that came in. Joyce wrote, are there proven strategies for integrating a directory into a news website? Could you comment on that? And just before you do, for those of you that are joining us live, one of the benefits, we'll field your questions throughout the call. Just send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. Also, we just sent over to you the 3 websites that we're going to be reviewing. We may get to all 3. It may be a little tight. We'll see how it works. But we've sent that to you. So just during this quick pause, we don't want you multitasking during the course of this call, but we do want you to know that we've sent the 3 URLs to you. So if you can quickly pull that up, just set that aside, then we'll continue on for the next maybe 15 or 20 minutes or so, and then we're going to dive right in and go take a look at those the URLs that we sent to you. So Joyce asks, proven strategies for integrating a directory into a news website. You want to comment on that, Ryan?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I would tell Joyce if I was working with her is to keep the directory simple. What happens a lot of times is that people, because technology often ruins a great idea and doesn't enhance it, what you want to do is find a system that is simple and that is straightforward. You don't need to build these directory systems, guys. They're so, if you Google for directory software or e-directory software, you will get many returns on that. And what you want to do is find one that is extremely simple and extremely straightforward. Now, incorporating it into a news site is a little bit harder, but what you want to do is make sure that you place the directory in such a way and you promote it in such a way that it's near some main content, some of the meat of your news site, and to drive people over there. The other thing is you want to include it in your navigation in such a way that if someone mouses over directory, it'll actually list the categories. What happens a lot of times is people will click on directory, they'll go over and then have to find a category. What you want to do is make sure when you mouse across directory, it lists the categories so that you can drive people right into the directory. The other last thing I'll say about it is a lot of times people just include a search box to search the directory. Typically, that's not enough. When people are wanting to search your site, they're looking in typically the upper right-hand corner of your website. Using a search box for a directory off of the main page typically is not the best way. But the best advice I can give to Joyce is keep it simple and keep it straightforward. Directories are pretty easy to sell. I think that you may agree with that, Ernest.
Wonderful. Hey, listen, I love the thinking and strategy. And from a sales and revenue perspective, Jed and Ryan, my gosh, directories are a money machine, but only when done correctly. What we want you to know is that we've been working with publications in some cases where they've had it, or some cases there was a big roar and a raw to get it going, and it just sort of sputtered along. If you have a directory, you need to maximize it, and it has to be embedded in the sales packages that you're selling. Here's your print ad. Here's your e-newsletter, which is what we talked about, Jed, last month. Remember we talked about the newsletter?
Sure. How could
tying that in, right?
Right.
And now we have the website. Here's how you monetize the advertising at the website, and then and hence the directory as well. As publications in these economic times, you need to validate all of that and bring that together. And then on the sales side, then we talk about return on investment. We talk about visuals that will show you the visuals of the analytics that drive all of these results. We also can talk to you about how to measure the results and the activities of the advertising at the website, how to tie that into monthly, quarterly, and year-to-date reports. All of this is part of the sales strategy. This is the monetizing portion of the website, and it's a very important part of what we want you to be doing. And in these economic times, it's very, very important. And then lastly, the phone tracking, the way we tie in the phone tracking so that you also have that as another data point. So let's, if we could, Ryan, transition to our second point, and let's talk about, because I know you're going to embed a lot of these principles when we go look at the websites here in just a little bit. So how do colors impact your website visitors, and how will a simple color change have you seeing green in smart revenue and traffic? How do we tie that in?
Well, the fundamental flaw that I find overall, and I take a breath and I sigh a bit because it happens, I would say, daily in working with publishers of magazines and newspapers, is that the web design colors are based upon their logo. And I think you've probably seen that, Ernest and Jed, in your experiences, is that what people will do is if they have a logo perhaps that's gold, then they will design their entire website around that particular color. And while I understand from a design perspective the gravitation towards that type of philosophy, what happens oftentimes is logos are designed usually using some very vibrant and bright colors. Very rarely is just a logo just a standard, you know, black and blue logo. Typically, they want their logo to pop. So what happens is when you go to the website, the color of the logo and the website itself is so bright and so bold that nothing else really stands out. So what I like to encourage people to do is in designing the website is to design it in such a way that it still has a freshness to it. I try to help people avoid colors of gray, you know, in the background. I really try to avoid, you know, people, unless you're publishing a goth newspaper, to avoid background colors of black and things like that. What I really like to encourage people to do is use creams, use neutral colors, use colors that are friendly and that have a fresh feel to them, colors that you would typically use, for example, maybe in a kitchen or in a bathroom, okay? Colors that are fresh and have a nice, crisp feel to them. Then you can, when you're creating your hotspot, any of the colors you use, the bright blues, the reds, and things like that, will really draw somebody's eye. Now, based upon that, what I can tell you is something that's extremely intuitive, and that is that yellows draw people's eye and reds draw people's eye. Now, you'll notice when you go to major news organization websites, and I had this experience. I was fortunate to be on the web team that created one of the first websites for ABC Television in Chicago. And as you know, ABC's colors are black and blue. Well, what they determined very quickly is the website needed to be white, and we would accent with black and with blue. Well, that's what we determined, but what happened? The website started out being all dark blue, okay? Well, we determined really quickly after this site launched that people were not going to the areas we needed them to go to because there wasn't a big enough contrast in colors. So we scrapped it, went with a white, creamy color in the background, and started using the blues, blacks, reds, and yellows to create hot spots to draw people's eyes. So we started left to right and top to bottom. Well, for example, back to Joyce's question, if I really wanted to push the directory hard, I would want to put it into one of my hot spots that perhaps was a yellow color or was a red color. Now, guys, there's all kinds of shades of yellow. There's all kinds of shades of red. You don't have to make it fire engine red, okay? Now, what you want to do, though, is you want to make sure that your advertisers are not just sitting on a white space. You want to make sure the area you create for them is an area that perhaps is joined together with other areas where you have advertising on the page. But if you have a directory, you might want to put it in an area that will draw somebody's eye with a certain color. Then you need to test it and see if the shade of color correct. You may be surprised to learn that changing the shade of color on yellow will draw people's eyes in a different way.
And now, Ryan, you test it by through the focus groups?
Yeah, you really, that's the best way to do it. The other way to test it is actually pretty simple, and that is, are people clicking on it or are they not? You'll notice on one of the...
You would use sort of a piece of tracking software like Urchin or something like that to measure that?
That's correct. Or if it's an advertising spot, then you would use your ad tracking software to see if people are actually going over and clicking on it.
Right.
The whole idea behind it is that you want to make sure that the areas you're creating have a border around them with a headline color that's maybe reverse type than what you would normally see. You want to create these hot spots or areas with colors to draw people to them. For example, if you happen to have, say, three or four ads that are stacked up, for example, and you want to draw somebody's eye over to it, and it's on the right side of the screen, that's where you've dedicated that space to. Well, you may want to, and this is a bit of a far-out example, but I'm just using it to prove a point. You may want to create that area in a contrasting color to the rest of the website. Now, contrasting color doesn't necessarily have to mean yellow on a white site. A contrasting color could be a darker shade of brown, for example, or a darker shade of green, for example. But using contrasting color allows people's eyes to go in different places and will draw their eye. Now, that is the single greatest reason, guys, why you'll notice when you search Google or you search Yahoo, even though their sponsored links are at the top, they're in what color? A yellow color or a light shade of yellow. Or if they really want to draw your eye, which is ugly, they'll do it in a shade of pink. Okay? So the encouragement from this little section is that you want to use contrasting colors to be able to draw people's eyes to specific things you want them to read. Maybe it's content, guys. Maybe you've got news on your site. It's very important that they read this particular section. Make sure the heading for that section is in a contrasting color, and the type, for example, might be reverse-out type.
Ryan, do you have a rule of thumb for total number of colors you like to use on a page?
I don't think that there's a really good rule of thumb. It's sort of like this. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Right.
When it starts to look junky, you probably need to take two steps back from it.
Junky and the eye beholder, right?
Yeah.
And then one more quick question. When you talk about these types of color rules on a page, I presume then that you're anticipating that they be carried through the rest of the site, right?
Correct. I would want to have
the rules that apply. I mean, pretty much we're talking about home pages now, but the rules that apply on the home page would then follow.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of consistency that needs to be carried through the website. It's really important that as you're laying out the site, that if you, for example, if you build a news capsule for news and it's got a certain heading color, you may want to carry that heading color throughout the website. If your ads are located in a contrasting color, maybe of a beige or a cream, you might want to make sure that that's carried out throughout the website. And now, in contrast to that, if you do have an area on an internal page, an inside page you want to draw attention to, then you want to change the color. And again, so everybody understands, this doesn't have to be a bright yellow, or it doesn't have to be a red. You just have to create areas of contrasting color within your color palette. Now, if you really want to call them out, and you really want them to scream off the page, then you need to leave your color palette and go with something crazy. But I understand there's a lot of integrity that comes with the design and the color choices. The biggest thing I can say is, don't necessarily design the website based upon the colors of your logo.
All right, so let me just pause. This is Ernest. For those of you that have questions related to what we've covered in the last 30 minutes related to colors and hotspots, please continue to email us, and we'll tuck those in. We actually have a question which is probably one of these reoccurring questions, Ryan, that we're going to hear during each of these five segments. And I went back to our notes today. Obviously, we're talking about website and hotspots and navigation. I know we're going to talk about building community and monetizing websites and web selling and sales and certainly SEO. Those will each be their own one-hour call. But just for the purpose of today, the question that came in from Tom says, you know, hey, guys, look, you're covering a lot of terms, technology, jargon. You know, how do I help my sales team be able to speak the language of the web and the Internet? Do you want to just take a minute or two and address that?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I would do is if you Google for glossary of web terms, then you're going to find a lot of references to a lot of these terms that you would be able to download and present to them. In the earlier days of selling the Internet, I actually included a lot of the most common Internet terms actually in our media kit when we present it to customers. A lot of times when you're teaching online sales, or when I'm teaching online sales, we all know that not only do we have to educate ourselves, but we often have to educate our advertisers. The other thing is, I think that salespeople themselves just need to spend time reading. For example, they need to read on eMarketer.com. For example, which is a great website to learn more, learn more about it. And I think the other thing I can encourage them is to try to find online sales type seminars and classes to send the salespeople to, or webinars that you can call into, so that they can have a better understanding of the terms. There's a lot of website 101 type things available on the Internet. And if you Google website 101 terms, you'll find a lot of references.
I also, just as a practical note, I mean, one of the things that I'm often surprised about when I speak to people at publications who may not have been involved in the design of the website, is just how few people from the publications themselves actually look at their website. You know, I think that, you can go a long way by simply having your salespeople, I don't know whether it's, forcing them to use it, half an hour a week or something, but just by familiarizing themselves with the website itself, I think it goes a long way towards them seeing value in it. I'm always shocked at how many times I point out something to a publication that I saw on their website, and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. There is also a website that is called MakeUseOf.com, just like it sounds, MakeUseOf.com. And they actually have a Web Metrics 101 page that is entitled, What Do All These Terms Mean? And so I might encourage folks to, go take a look at that. I'm not affiliated with it at all, but it is a good site that I have pointed people to in the past.
All right. So let's pause here because we have about 25 minutes. And I know there's we have some additional questions that we want to touch on and weave in here. I know we have up to 3 websites that we've gained permission from those who are participating, and I think this will, I know this is going to be highly interactive. So I'm going to give the URL of the first site, and I know that many, many of you asked us to do this kind of review, and also we need your permission because we're going to share both praise and critique while we're working here live. And, Jed, I know we were looking forward to doing this very much so. So we're going to go to the first website, and again, if you want to take a look at your inbox, we also sent these to you by email. And we're going to look to cover up to 3. We're at least going to start with 1, and we may get to the second and hopefully ideally to the third. We're going to start with girl-magazine.com. Girl-magazine.com is the first website we're going to take a look at. We'll give you all just a moment. You may be there already. We'll just give you a moment to pull this up. Jed, do you have it on your side?
I do.
Okay, perfect. I do as well. girl-magazine.com. Thank you so much for giving us permission to review this. Okay? So for the purpose of today, just so all of you know, you're going to hear a very tightly shared critique on this, because this is only one aspect. We're not talking today about building community or monetizing a website or the SEO work that Power Hour does and that Ryan does specifically as our VP of Internet Strategies, but we're just going to focus on today as it relates to hotspots and colors, okay? So Ryan, the floor is yours here. What praise might we share first? What are we seeing here? And then what critique and feedback might also be included with that?
Well, the first thing I would say is, wow, this is a market and a website that I would love to work with, because it is an area, a demographic area, that is rich and deep in terms of the ability to be able to build social networking type communities and the ability for these users to come back over and over again. But to focus on the design aspect we're talking about today, one of the things I'd like to say I think is excellent is that at the very top right, you'll see sign up for our e-newsletter. And I think, Ernest, that you would agree that having it at the top of the page is awesome. Because it's so important, guys, I really believe this. You can quote me on this. He who owns the data will win. I really mean that. He who owns the data will win. I would encourage them to take that, sign up for our e-newsletter, and I'd move it over to the top left. I really feel that it's vitally important for people to sign up for these newsletters and collect this data. Now, in saying that, what's the first thing that I see? The first thing my eye is drawn to is the logo. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad logo. I'm not critiquing the logo. But as a designer, what I probably would have done is put something extremely important in the upper left, move the logo perhaps over to the right side, and put the newsletter information there. Yeah. One of the cool things I can say, though, about it is, obviously, there, you know, that there's advertisers and it's an advertiser-friendly website. What I've done, though, is noticed this. What's the first ad that immediately appeals to me, to my eye, and draws my eye across the site? Hopefully you're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. It's the Whole Food Pharmacy. Do you see that, guys, on the right? Is that appearing for you as well?
Yep. We see that on the right.
Now,
side.
You'll notice that from a design perspective, in terms of the design of that ad, it draws my eye. Why is that? Well, because it's in a completely contrasting color. One of the things that I would that I would change on the site, I do like the navigation along the top. I do like the fact that we have a home, magazine, directory, out and about. What I don't quite want to see in the upper navigation usually is, company info and distribution usually is found at the bottom of the website. Most people looking to advertise will scroll to the bottom and find your link down there.
Yeah. Now, and Ryan, this is Ernest. And wouldn't you also include that navigation options? If I'm going to go top to bottom and I roll down to the bottom of the page, I also want my navigation at the bottom, right?
Exactly. And the other thing, well, this is not a problem on this site because these actually are direct links. A lot of times people need to remember something. Spider and robots that read these websites, they can't click, and they usually won't. Now, the Yahoo Spider will click a little bit, but you want to make sure that your links, guys, on your site are someplace on the page are hard-coded, meaning that when there's no drop-down because the search engines need to be able to read your website. The one thing I was also going to say, I do like the use of the advertising on the top of the site. I think it is appropriate for this website. I don't know exactly what to do until I actually click on the cover. So I do like the fact that it actually says, click above to read the online magazine now. A lot of times when people use digital editions, they assume, again, bad thing, they assume that readers know to click. And so while I do think it's, a little bit clunky that it does say click above, you don't know the number of times, guys, that I actually write on a page, click here. It's that old-fashioned call to action, click here, because you assume people know that they need to click. I like the fact that in a contrasting red color, it says 2009 directory. Take a look inside. I like the fact that it stands out like that and that you click on it and that's going to take you inside. I would, from an advertising perspective, perhaps take the space at the bottom that's gray, that says MySpace, Facebook, Blogger, turn that space into a 728x90 ad to give myself another sellable size. And depending on how the website is selling, I may want to take those two ads on the top and turn them into one big ad, potentially sell it for more money. But, there's probably a reason that they have two ads there, and I can see, some give and take. The last thing that I would say is, if you do want to garner a potential advertiser, I'm not exactly sure, unless I look through the page, what the magazine is all about. So, for example, it looks like, and I haven't spent a lot of time on it, it looks like I see reference to Key West. I'm going to guess, you know, girl type stuff, you know, in Florida and Key, you know, in Key West. I would encourage this publisher to put their little slogan or something towards the top of the page so that I really know exactly where I'm at.
Well, it does say, I mean, this, I think, is an attempt at a hot spot, right? About halfway down the page in red, it says girl is about.
Okay, you see that.
But, but maybe that's a hot spot that doesn't ring true because you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ryan, this is Ernest. I'm just curious. I see a lot of gray space all the way around, you know, the website itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like there was not even space. I don't know. It's kind of like the difference between a, you know, standard size magazine and digest. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of space on to the left and right, at least on my browser. Do you guys see that as well?
Yeah. But you want to, and I'm going to go ahead while we're visiting just real quickly.
Yeah.
I have a tool on my computer to grab the size here.
Yeah.
And, well, guys, they're actually at 928 pixels. You don't want to go beyond 1,000.
Right.
If I was to redesign this site, I would set it up in such a way as a floating template so that it will size itself accordingly. But you don't want your websites to be much more than about 1,000, you know, pixels because you've got a lot of people still on those standard good old-fashioned office monitors.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a big monitor like you must have, Ernest.
Okay. Amen, my brother. All right. Let's do this. And again, during the course of our call, send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. We'll tuck your questions in here where appropriate. Thank you so much, Girl Magazine, for allowing us to surf in here. We have the next two in front of us, and we have about 15, 16 minutes here. Ryan, which one should we do second?
Why don't we go ahead and go to AroundOsceola.com.
Okay. So Around Osceola, and I'm going to spell Osceola, which is, it's Around and then OSCEOLA.com. AroundOsceola.com is where we are. And again, we sent it to you by email in just a few minutes ago. Jed, do you have that up on your screen?
I do.
All right. Very good. Ryan, what do you see and observe as we're getting settled in here?
Well, the first thing is it looks to me, unless all these ads are free, that they're having some success in the advertising space. The first thing, though, again, that I ask myself is, I pull up the page, I pulled it up just like you did for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they want me to go?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the first thing I ask myself, because I don't know, where exactly do you want me to go? So what I would suggest is the Around Osceola, we would want to potentially make that smaller. I'd want to create an area that's someplace for data collection, whether it's join our newsletter, enter our contest, etc. I would put a little more structure to the advertising. Perhaps we need to create, you do have this area here that's on the right side. I don't really necessarily know that that is an advertising area specifically, although I think that it is. But what I'm concerned about is the fact that you've got the blue ribbon and the it's such over here on the left, which looks resemblant to an ad. You've got the, Ola Osceola here in the middle, which is resemblant to an ad. And then you've got actual advertising. So I kind of want to, I would encourage this publisher to actually make advertising space, make it a little bit of a contrasting color so we know that it's advertising space. But the first thing I do is, okay, where do I want the user to go? What's the most important thing that I want them to see? Because right now, the most important thing I see is Mullinax Ford at the top, which perhaps that's it. Maybe that's what they want me to click on. Now, I may take that advertising space at the top, which, by the way, guys, is obviously premier space, shrink the logo, make that a 728 by 90. Obviously, 728 by 90s are hugely popular right now. I take those two ads on the side, maybe keep those there, make it a contrasting color. Over on the left navigation, I like the fact that they are links, because the search engines are going to like being able just to, you know, read right through to them. If there's something that's more important than something else, I would encourage this publisher to make it bold or make it a different color. Now, the next thing I would do is encourage them to simplify a little bit. There is a lot of information trying to be presented right here, and the least of which, it seems, is the Osceola News in the middle. I really think that's probably, pretty darn important. You know, never forget, no matter what happens to magazines or newspapers, content is still going to be king in the end. So what I'd like to see them do is take a little bit of space and dedicate it to the content here on the top, be able to move a few things down. And what it appears to me is that advertising is the most important thing on this website. In today's economy, I can't necessarily say that, you know, I disagree with the, you know, with the concept. But I'm looking for some sex appeal. When I'm an advertiser coming to a website, I'm looking for, is it sexy? Does it make me want to be a part of the website? So I'm going to give these guys props and some kudos for including the advertiser in the design, which I think is great. I would just do a little reformatting, a little refocusing, and actually create, you know, spots for all of these, you know, for all of these things.
Yeah,
overall,
me,
though, they're doing some good things.
All right. So, Ryan, this is Ernest. We got an email that just came in from Jeff. And by the way, for those of you that are pinging us almost real time about looking at your website, we really appreciate that. We actually tucked that into the invitation. We tried to include you there. And then we also did it into the reminder twice to try to tuck that in there so that those that sort of raised their hand early on, then we were able to sort those out. So we appreciate you asking us to look at your website real time. But if you have specific questions related to the feedback, that we can do, okay? Jeff asked the question, though, and this is a good one, Jeff. Thanks. Can the speaker discuss the max number of ads on a page before losing effectiveness? I find Osceola too busy, wondering if the CTR is low because of it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with Jeff. And I don't know that there's necessarily, Jeff, a magic formula to the mix. This is what I usually tell most publishers. How many times when talking to your advertisers, which obviously you need to do that to be a success, talk to your advertisers and find out, okay, how many times does your ad need to be displayed in a given month for you to be happy with me? If we don't get any clicks, what's the success meter that you can help set with them, the advertiser? How many times does an ad need to be displayed? And then from there, I'd sort of back into the number. I would agree with Jeff, and that's what I'm trying to say, is that this is really busy, and it's got a lot of advertising on it. I think if it was formatted slightly differently, it may not look quite so busy. There is a lot of blinking going on, which I tend to find to be a little crazy. But in most cases, guys, you're going to want no more than 4 ads on any given page is sort of just a general rule. In terms of bigger size ads. The Interactive Advertising Bureau, well, it does offer standard sizes that all of you should follow. It doesn't necessarily, the general rule for them is 4 on any given page. I would agree with Jeff, and I do think that the click-through rate for the CTR is going to go down if you do overwhelm the page.
Yeah.
If the website is designed in such a way, Ernest, to drive people into it,
right.
I think it's okay to have, you know, these other pages.
Sure. Okay. Well, based on your agreeing with Jeff, that means, Jeff, that you're our presenter. Next month in April, we will have you presenting on search engine optimization. Your question was great, and your observations were
Ryan,
perfect.
One quick question for you. How do you, other than the fact that you mentioned that you thought the news portion of this site should be moved up and perhaps made to be a little more prominent. How do you recommend sort of the presentation of stories? Because this website does what a lot of publications do, in that they sort of string them together, and it almost is up to the reader to kind of decipher what's important. There's none of the differentiation between those articles the way that there might be in print, or even the way that there are on more mainstream sites, you know, news sites like, you know, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or something.
Yeah, I guess
how do you like to handle that?
What I like to do is I typically ask the publisher what's most important to your readers. It's interesting that some people will say, you know, obits are most important to our readers. Or, you know, there may be a community section that's most important to our readers. But what you want to do, you see at the top where it says print editions online in a box like that. Perhaps I would use a box just like that, and it might say breaking news around Osceola, and it includes breaking news in that area, and create some containers for breaking news, community news, obits, you know, whatever is really important to that publisher. He's going to know his community better than I'm going to know.
Do you like the 1 or 2 sentence teaser?
Yeah, what I want to encourage people to do in putting teasers on the front page is you want to put enough to make someone make a decision to read more, but you don't want to put so much that they make the decision they don't have to read anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's a gentle balance there. Just give them enough to tease them to want to read more, and don't give them so much they can make the decision, I don't need to read more. So I like the, you know, I like the teaser graphs.
So let me just comment before we go shift to our third site here, and I realize we have about 6 or 8 minutes before the top of the hour. The comment earlier about, you know, asking people to subscribe to a newsletter, and as you said, he or she with the most data wins. I just want to put this in terms of the financial component for all of you that are listening here, and that is for the presidents and the owners and the CEOs that are joining us. The capturing of data, the capturing of newsletter readers, the gaining of permission to have those to subscribe to your newsletter is absolutely key, because when the day comes to sit down to sell your publication, you're going to, in your left hand, hold your financial reports, which is about the past, and you're going to, in the right hand, hold a file and a backup that says, and here is our database of all of our readers and subscribers. And he or she that has that in the right hand will get paid the most. We help our publishing clients buy and sell publications. There is nothing sadder to me than when a transaction is done and the premium and the values are not even close to what it should have been, and a business has been around for 45 years. If you have 20,000 readers to your publication, if you have 100,000, if you have 1,000, it doesn't matter. If you have readers that are reading your publication, free or paid, you absolutely need a way in your website, by permission only and always, to ask them to receive information on an ongoing basis. And there's all kinds of selling strategies related to that, revenue opportunities, the e-newsletter call to Jed that we did last month, the way you monetize your website, it all ties in together. So if you do nothing but get that point, and every single month, in the same way you keep score, what's in my bank account, what's in my financial statements, and what are our subscribers, you have to keep score on that side every single month. Let's shift gears, if we could, Ryan. This has been really fantastic. And, Jed, what a hoot to wander through these and do this real time. Isn't this great?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the next one. Florida Sun Review. FloridaSunReview.com is the third site. And let's give this a laser, maybe 3 minutes or so, if we could, Ryan. Then we'll pause. We'll do a little summarize. And then we'll talk about how to open up the line and field some more real-time questions, okay?
You bet. I really feel that this magazine, a newspaper rather, has an opportunity to be a tremendous success online. I think one of the neatest things about this newspaper is its target audience. It's very demographic driven, being Central Florida's oldest African American newspaper. I think that this publisher can very quickly ascertain, based upon his or her experience with his particular demographic, what it is that is very, very important to them in redesigning this website. Now, in saying that, I think that right here you can see on the page we've basically got, you know, a blank canvas. I like the fact that they do have a weekly calendar. I think that they need to make sure that there's a concerted effort to not only, A, make sure the calendar is represented in such a way that someone can click on a particular date, but you also want to encourage your users to share their upcoming events with you. One of the things I wanted to point out on this site, and I chose this site as we were looking through our list to review, because I like sometimes to start with a blank canvas the way that an artist would. The same way I recommended to all of you to take a moment and take a piece of white paper and draw your site out. Digital editions, as you can see here in the upper left-hand corner, are pretty cool. They do add a little bit of sizzle to your sale when you're out talking to a potential advertiser. But what I wouldn't do is make your digital edition this prominent on the site. A digital edition should not be your website. It should just be a part of your website. What I would really encourage this publisher to do is to take that white piece of paper and lay it out. I like the fact that it says new this week, because what that tells me, even though I haven't clicked on these, it does tell me that this publisher is making a concerted effort to put something new on each week on this website, which we all know, what does that do? It encourages people to come back. Now, the next thing I would encourage this publisher to do is, you know your community. So what you need to do is create a section on this website that targets topics specific to your demographic community. Ernest, Jed, this is an example of a demographic that is willing to speak out about their points of politics, family, life, etc. Create an area on this website, highly promoted on the main page, that encourages these people to speak out and share with us and get these people to come back over and over again. What I would say to this publisher is, the time is now, based on your demographic, to take this sucker and blow it up. get a great content management system. There's some great ones out there that are open source, that are free. Find some help and take advantage of this demographic. The time is now to take advantage. A lot of times we try to have to serve a lot of people. Very rarely do I come across a publisher like this that has such a great targeted demographic. I would eat this one up.
And to that point, as we've talked about in prior calls, Jed, we've talked about who is your audience. Serve them well. There's a reason to go wide and deep. There's a reason to go local, then regional, then national. There's other times to be national or go back to regional or go back to local so that you really target that demographic audience. Even when you slice those that you work with within your audience, the tighter and tighter you can be. Your publication can serve three audiences, and your website can slice those thirds also really nicely. So, Ryan, just wonderful points. We're going to pause right here. Jed, we've covered an immense amount of ground. We've done these calls for 4 years now. This was really fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember you saying, you know, there's going to be a lot of interest related to this call, and we've had a great turnout for this call, a wonderful group registering. What was interesting is that, Jed, we had all of our regulars that just come to every call that never miss, and then we had a whole other group, sort of those on the technology side and the marketing side, that sort of added in here as well. So it's been great, Ryan, to have you here, and just wonderful to have you as part of the Power Hour team and serving our publishing clients the way that you do. And for all of you to know, again, this is one of five. There'll be a series of four more that we'll cover over the next 6, 12, and 18 months. We'll come back and talk about search engine optimization, web sales, and web selling. This is what we do all day long with our publications to help them drive revenue. We'll talk about monetizing websites, and we'll also talk about building communities. So this was just a slice of design, navigation, hotspots, and Ryan, it was an absolute pleasure. Jed, some closing words for the group, and then we'll pause the recording, and then we'll talk about how to informally engage with those that are here with us today, okay?
Great. Well, you know, I just want to thank Ernest and Ryan for participating, and of course for all of you for participating as well. I think it's the tip of the iceberg, but I think it's a topic that a lot of people obviously have an interest in. So thanks again for participating, and we look forward to speaking to you next month.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jed, for all your support and all of the support from your team. Again, for those of you that are working with MediaBids, you know the wonderful resource and revenue that they bring. And for those of you that have not or are not up to now, please go take a look at MediaBids.com, and Jed and his team will be more than happy to help you with that. I'm going to pause right here, and I'm going to close the recording of the call. Then I'm going to come back, and we're going to open up the line, and I'll talk to all of you that are on the line how we're going to interact maybe for the next 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. Please be specific with your questions. Please know we will not be able to, in this call, go look at your website real time. We know we're seeing a lot of requests for that. We will not be able to do that in the short window of time. But if you'd like to follow up with us by email and have us go take a look at your websites, talk to you about the strategies that will help you, you can hear, no doubt, the expertise that Ryan brings to this, which is why we're so excited. He's been around websites and publications for so long, which is why we're delighted he's part of our Power Hour team. So give me just a moment, guys.
While Ernest is doing that,